coming through the Sermon on the Mount and our memory verse. We're just taking one at a time. Can anybody quote all the Beatitudes so far from verse number 3 through verse number 8? Anybody want to try it? Some of you are working on it, but you're shaking your head no. You can, but you won't. You're going to be dizzy. Are you thinking about it, Garrett? He's thinking about it. No, thinking and Garrett. Those two words in the same sentence, that doesn't sound right. Oh, boy. Well, let's read them together, or try to quote them together. If you can quote them, I better look or I'll mess up. Matthew 5, 3 through 8. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I almost stopped at verse 7. We're going through verse number 8 tonight. In fact, we're looking at verse number 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Or blessed are the pure in heart. Pure or pure? depending on how you're saying that. Blessed are the pure in heart. Mountains, I was going to say the crowns. Last year we had crowns. The mountains over there, I hope you're climbing up the mountain, taking the high road up the mountain. Did I turn this one on? I'm going to do that. And I can control my volume too much if I don't have this one on. All right. Blessed are the pure in heart. We've looked at the Beatitudes. Let me just very quickly review, and just so we understand what we're at. And it's interesting to me how they build one upon another. Before we can get to number 2, we got to get number 1. They coincide, yet one strengthens the next one. The poor in spirit. Realizing that I'm nobody, that God is everything, is what it means to be poor in spirit. And that gives you the entrance to salvation. It gives you the entrance to true spirituality, that I can do nothing in and of myself, but through Him I can do all things. And then blessed are they that mourn. Mourning is the outward expression of an inward brokenness. We think of mourning when we lose a loved one, or something tragic happens, but it's more the idea of brokenness over our sin, our sinfulness, which is the first ingredient to true biblical repentance. And those that mourn know the presence of the Comforter. They shall be comforted. And the meek, that is being strong enough to be in control of my spirit, has nothing to do with weakness, but it's strong. It's strength to control my spirit, my actions, and my reactions is what it means to be meek. And we will make an impact for Christ in this world. They shall inherit the earth. And then those that hunger, they have a strong hunger, a strong desire for the Word of God, and a thirst for the person of God. They shall be filled or satisfied, filled to overflowing in Christ. And then the merciful. This is the one we covered last week, and I think I left a blank there for that. Extending love and forgiveness and compassion to those who least deserve our charity. By the way, that is a great word. Instead of love, charity. That has a true meaning and a good understanding. Look up the difference between love and charity. Extending charity, forgiveness, compassion to those who are least deserving. That's what it means. And by the way, that's what God did to us when He showed us His mercy. He didn't give us what we deserve. Thank the Lord for that. Came across a good quote. I was going to give it to my wife for the bulletin this Sunday, and she at lunchtime, she said, I got to read this quote to you. And she started reading it. I said, I was going to give that one to you. You found it too. It has to do with being merciful. And when we're merciful, we experience the joy of God's grace. There's nothing like having that freedom of knowing what it is to forgive someone, to show mercy to those that didn't deserve mercy, experiencing that joy of God's grace, God doing in us what we can't do. And that joy, and that's by the way, what blessed means, joyful, happy, joyful. Seems like we need a bigger word than joy, rejoicing. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Not just the pure, but the pure in heart. I've got a couple of passages of Scripture, and I've learned this in studying the Bible, that the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. There's a couple of there are three or four chapters that immediately come to mind when I started meditating on this phrase or this beatitude of pure in heart. And the first one, I'll just share two of them with you tonight, Psalm chapter number 15. This is a psalm that is worth memorizing, and it's a great one to memorize because it's only five verses. Again, I encourage you to memorize psalms. This is a great psalm to memorize. And this is a great commentary on what it means to be pure in heart. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Notice, we're going to see God. We're going to dwell with Him. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, not just with his mouth, but in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil with his neighbor, to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Another passage of Scripture, the book of James. James is just saying the name James brings conviction to me. If you know the book of James, you study the book of James. James chapter number 4. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'm looking forward to seeing God face to face one day. Looking forward to being in His very presence. Of course, we share some of that today, in His presence today. James chapter number 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not thence, even of your own lusts, that war in your members? Ye lust, and ye have not. Ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight, and ye war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask, and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. How do we draw nigh to God? Having a pure heart. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. It's interesting to see all the parallels here in this passage of Scripture with the Beatitudes. In verse number 11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. And we'll just stop there. And there's some great things there, and I wish I could take the time to go through those. And there's a couple other. 2 Peter 1 is another one that immediately came to mind when I think of what the true meaning and understanding what it means to be pure in heart and seeing God. Well, let's look at a definition first of all. What does it mean to be pure in heart? The pure in heart means first of all that we need to understand first of all that we have no goodness of our own to claim. My heart's not pure on its own. I can't make my heart pure. We're going to see that in a little bit. I can't save myself. I can't make myself spiritually. A child of God is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, not by our own works, not by our own righteousness. I have no righteousness. And a submissive child is regularly cleansed by the Word of God. An obedient child loves God above all others. What does it mean to be pure? Pure, most of us could probably come up with a good definition. I'll just give you a few words here to fill in there. Pure means clean. It means wholesome. It means above reproach. Those are some good words concerning pure. Clean, wholesome, above reproach. And of course, our heart. What is our heart? Pray for Rex. Linda said that he's having a little shortness of breath, and we get worried about our heart. When we think of our heart, depending on your age, you start thinking about your physical heart when you get a little older. I'm amazed at that. It used to be when I exercise or do something, go for a long bike ride or a long run. I only run when people are chasing me or somebody left me behind or something. But it used to be that my side would be the first thing that would get sore. But now it's my heart that gets sore. I don't understand that. I used to never think about that when I was a kid. But not our physical heart, but our spiritual heart. When the Bible talks about our heart, that's a little bit sounds a little bit better than your liver or your kidney, and sometimes or your bowels. It sometimes refers to that too. But it's the same thing. It's your inner being. It's who you are on the inside. It's a part of your soul. Your soul also includes your mind, your will, and emotions. Your heart is who you are on the inside. Are we pure in heart? And again, we can't make our heart pure. We can't be pure in our heart. I don't know. In Genesis chapter number 6, and we read when God saw the evilness of man and the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And we say, boy, it must have been really bad. In reality, the thoughts of our heart are only evil continually. All of us are in that situation. And we can look, boy, it must have been really, really bad because they're only evil. Well, that's our heart today, the way God spells it out for us. But our heart is our inner being. It's who we are on the inside. And let me just give you a couple things, and I'm going to just read through this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. Our soul includes our mind, our will, our emotions, our heart. It's everything inside of us. Salvation is the conversion of our soul. We talk about going soul winning. When we led somebody's soul to the Lord, we trust God with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our being. That's what it takes when we get saved. And when we get saved, and here's a difference between our soul and our spirit is made alive or quickened at salvation. We were born into this world spiritually dead or separated from God. And when we get saved, our spirit becomes alive, and it's literally the Holy Spirit that comes to live inside of us. And our soul is transformed as we learn to live in the Spirit. Our heart is changed when we learn to walk in the presence of the Spirit. We're talking about being pure in heart. And I gave you a couple of statements here to keep in mind, to keep this in focus, because especially we as not just Baptists, but any Christians that believes in old-fashioned separation from the world. Sometimes we get that backwards. We think the way to be separated is just be different from the world. And the problem with that is if the world goes over here, we can just follow right along and still be separate. If we separate ourselves first unto God, that's biblical separation, and then the world just kind of fades into the background. And that's how we ought to believe, but we have a hard time figuring that out. We think, well, in order to please God, I've got to do this and this and this, and well, that doesn't make us pure in heart. I'm going to give you something to think about as we go through this. Our outward being is what is most important to man. And our inner being is what is most important to God. I put them in that order on purpose because sometimes we say, well, all that matters is how are you right with God. Well, that's the most important thing. But it also is important what you are on the outside. Isn't it interesting if we say that somebody is, they're full of sin and they're living a good life on the outside, but inside Jesus said they're full of dead man's bones. They're still wicked. They're still lost. Their heart's not right with God, but on the outside they're doing everything. We say they're a hypocrite. Well, what if somebody is clean on the inside and they're dirty on the outside? Isn't that person a hypocrite? It's the same thing. But we don't say it that way. We usually, if somebody's living a better life than us, we like to condemn them so we don't feel so bad about ourselves, about our own sin. But sometimes people say, well, it doesn't matter what you live like on the outside. Oh, yes, it does, because man looks on the outside, so I want the outside to look like to represent what it is on the inside. The outward being is what is most important to man. I'm talking about our testimony, witnessing for the Lord. That's important. But if that's going to be right, it's got to start in the heart. The inner being is what is most important to God. We need, and I say this I have a whole bunch of things written down here that the Lord has just given to me, and I was writing them down and then trying to sort them out later. I'm just going to rattle them off to you. What we need is regeneration, not reformation. You understand the difference there? We need regeneration, not reformation. We don't need to conform. In churches that I've been involved in, it's easy, and I see it quite often, parents trying to make their children conform to certain things. And children eventually catch on and they get to playing the game themselves. Well, I can conform to all the outward things that people will think I'm spiritual if I do this, but when I get alone, it's a whole different ball game. When I get out of mom and dad's sight, it's a whole different ball game. That's reformation. We try to reform things. We don't need reformation. We need regeneration. When God makes us new from the inside out, a heart that's remade by the Spirit of God, not reformed by the will of man. I'm not changing things, so I'm not trying to be pure on the outside so I can have a good testimony, but leaving the inside undone. There is, by the way, great temporal joy in reformation. Consider, and sometimes you look at different people, and I've visited just this week, again, somebody in a hospital and family has no understanding of Christianity, and I've been trying to witness to them. And you talk about death and eternity and families like that. They're good people in their eyes. They're good moral people. They may even have a good dose of religion, but they don't have salvation. And because of that religion, they've got a sense of joy and satisfaction and contentment. They don't know Christ as their Savior, but they've got religion. There is some temporal joy. There is some temporal happiness and peace and contentment with outward reformation. But until I've been saved, I'm going to still die and go to hell. Did you get that? No matter what I show on the outside, and the same thing's true when it comes to living for God. Well, everybody might think I'm a real spiritual person because I do certain things. I talk a certain way, or I dress a certain way, or I go to certain places, or do certain things, and I can control my tongue. Well, that's maybe, I want to make sure it's regeneration and not reformation. We're not changing those things. Jesus is talking about being pure in heart. Only a pure heart and body that pleases God is the only way to have a pure heart and body that pleases God is to let the Spirit of God transform our heart. We've been emphasizing that word let. Let this mind be in you. It's not I've got to do this and I've got to do that. I've got to earn some kind of merit or favor, and I've got to become pure on the outside. No, I just need to give my heart and soul to Jesus Christ and let Him transform my heart. And then I can understand what it means to die to my flesh, that I might be renewed in the Spirit and in my heart. And let me give you this. Again, I just you understand that I have no goodness. I can't make my heart pure on my own. I can make it look good to other people, but only Christ can make my heart pure. And that starts with salvation. And it's, as I grow in the Lord, I learn to submit to Him as a child. I'm regularly cleansed by the Word. I grow, and my heart grows more pure, more like Him. And I want to tell you this, and we're going to turn to Jeremiah 17. Our heart needs cleansing. Our heart needs cleansing. Turn to your will in your Bible to Jeremiah 17. Many of you could probably quote the one verse, but I want to see the verses before and after it. Jeremiah 17. Our heart needs cleansing. How many of you already know what goes in that blank there with the verse? You know what goes in there. I want you to see the verses before and after. We're going to start at verse number 7. And again, the similarities here with the Beatitudes. Blessed are they that the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Look at how verse number 7 starts out. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. This man trusts in the Lord. He's not trusting in himself. And then he points out this, that we're used to seeing verse number 9. The heart is what? Deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. My heart needs cleansing. Now, I might look good on the outside, but I've got a wicked heart. You say, well, you're the preacher. I know my heart well enough to know that I've got a wicked heart. And there's only one thing that'll cleanse my heart. And that is the Holy Spirit cleans us with the Word of God. Turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. The Holy Spirit cleans us up with the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, maybe arguably could be said that he was maybe the best Christian that ever lived outside of Christ. And he said this late in his life, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth what? No good thing. There's nothing good in this flesh. You see, the more we know Christ, the more wicked we see our heart to be. And in that chapter, he's talking about, I want to do good, but I can't. And the law tells me this, and I try to do it, and I can't. And I fall on my face. You ever been there? And my heart is deceitful above all things. Now, Hebrews chapter number 4, and again, most of you probably know verse number 12. Again, verse number 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. That's an interesting study there. What's the rest that he's talking about there? He's really referring, well, throughout this chapter, he's talking about two different places referring to the rest. So we think of rest, the place in heaven where we're going to rest. But more than that, it's living the Christian life in His strength rather than our strength. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. We rest in Him. We trust in Him. We put our life in His hands. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into His rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from His. It's no longer me doing it. It's no longer my faith. It's not my works. It's not my righteousness. It's not my purity, but it's Christ living in me. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The example of unbelief he's talking about is the Old Testament going into the Promised Land. If you're familiar with the Promised Land crossing the Jordan River, that wasn't, I know some songs talk about it, and sometimes we talk about it crossing the river into heaven, but it's really talking about crossing the river into the Spirit-filled life, into the place flowing with milk and honey, the joy of the Lord, the rest of the Lord, resting in Him, trusting in Him, letting Him live in us. The pure in heart is not our purity. It's not our own righteousness, but it's His righteousness. For, verse number 12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts in the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. My heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. How can I know my heart? I can't know my heart. Sometimes I have to chuckle when people say, well, I know in my heart. Well, I just trust my heart. Or the people that feel really, really spiritual, in my heart of hearts. My heart has a heart? Is there a heart in that heart too? My heart of hearts. That's like I triple, double dog, doggone dare you. But my heart of heart. And I just feel really, really in my heart. My heart's deceitful. Desperately wicked. More deceitful than the devil himself is my heart. I can't trust my heart. The only way I can know what's in my heart is in this book right here. It shows me what the thoughts and the intents of my heart are. And the more I get into this book, the more it tells me, boy, look at how wicked your heart is. God, I need your grace. Blessed are the pure in heart. And again, it's not my purity. If it, the only good thing in me is the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God speaks to me through this book, His Word, that He wrote. He gave it to me. He preserved it for me. And He shows me things from His Word as I give my Word, if I give my, as I read it and study it. The pure in heart. If we allow God to cleanse our heart, we get saved by understanding the gospel record recorded in the Bible. You know, if we left it up to religion to show us what salvation is, we would have a mess. Well, we would have what we have today. We get back to the Word of God for the true message of salvation. And we need to get back to and make sure we're sticking to the Word of God when it comes to true spirituality. Blessed are the pure in heart. When we allow God to cleanse our heart, when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, when He lives inside of us, when we're saved and we're feasting on the Word of God, feeding Him through the Word of God, and He's growing in our life and transforming our heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. Not just the pure in body, but the pure in heart. For they shall see God. What's that mean? We'll see God. Oh, I know what it is. I had a dream the other night and I saw Jesus standing there. No, we shall see God. We'll know His working in our life. We'll know, hey, only God could do that. I encourage you in your prayer list to make a separate category of the impossible things and see what God can do off that impossible list. A blessing every once in a while to check something off that impossible list. Only God could have done that. Brother Todd's here tonight. I walked up to that camp and I thought, wow, only God could do this. And I was there when they first bought it and I thought, only God could get this place ready for camp next summer. And he did it. Many of us, we got to help out a little bit there. But that was a miracle. And God can do great things if we just trust Him and believe in Him. And that doesn't mean we just sit back and do nothing, but we trust Him and let Him work. But we shall see God. We'll know His hand working today. Now, there's some general things. When we talk about seeing God, letter A there, all of us will one day see God. Everyone, saved and lost, are going to see God. Sometimes you see, I'm trying to think of a joke, and that's real bad. And I try to tell a joke, and I don't even have it written down in front of me, huh? But someone, prayer will introduce you to Jesus. But I saw a bumper sticker recently that said, "Not wearing a seatbelt will get you there faster," or something like that. Or sometimes military people say, "Well, God's going to judge them, but I'm just going to set up the appointment for them to meet God." But something like that. And that's my attempt at humor, okay? Some of you look like you needed a joke. Maybe we'll have somebody come up and tell you a joke. But all of us one day will see God. There's a sense that every one of us will see God as a judge, but not as a friend. Revelation 1:7 says, "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. And they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him." Everyone will see God as their judge. But I want to see Him not as a judge. I want to see Him as my friend. I want to see Him as a miracle-working God. But we can also, and I think this is the true meaning of the phrase, "they shall see God," letter B, we can know His special favor. We can know His blessing. The phrase used here is to imply a special favor, if you will. In Revelation 22, I'm giving an example here. In verse number 3 through 5, says, "There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. They shall need no candle, neither light of the sun, or the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." They'll see His face, and His name will be in their forehead. They'll have that special favor, that special audience, which leads to the last thing there in letter C. We can enter His presence. And by the way, we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enter His presence. If we're saved, He lives inside of us. If we learn to give Him control of our heart and give our heart, Jesus said, "You love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with everything in you." The pure in heart, those that have given their heart completely to the Lord, not just for salvation, but for service. And everything we do, we're going to base it upon God's Word. And that is, letter C, will enter into His presence. Not just in heaven, but here on this earth. An example would be when someone approaches the throne of an earthly king, they're permitted to come into the presence or to have favor with the king. You think of the old days of the monarchs and maybe the Dark Ages, and someone had and even some places in the Bible, when Esther went to the king, if she didn't do it just right, if the king didn't show favor, you realize the king should just lop their head off. It's over with. But if we're pure in heart, we can approach His throne. We can approach the throne of grace and have our prayers answered. Proverbs 22 and verse 29 says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings." He shall not stand before mean men. He'll stand before kings. He'll be allowed to stand in the presence of the king. And there's the idea of blessed are the pure in heart. If we know that we're saved, We've trusted Christ as our Savior. The Holy Spirit lives inside of our heart. And now and as we grow in the Lord, as we dig into the Word of God, He cleanses our heart by the washing and regeneration of the Word of God. Every day we get into the Word of God and it washes a little more sin out of our life, makes our heart a little bit more pure. We die to ourselves that we might live unto Him, and our heart becomes a little bit more pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's what James is talking about. We war and we fight, and we have not because we ask not. We ask and receive not because we ask amiss, because we want to consume it to our own lust. We want it because we want it, or is it because it's what God wants for us? He shall give thee the desires of thy heart, is another great psalm. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He'll give us what we desire. If we trust in Him, and I've learned this, that it's not what I desire that He promises to honor, but when His desire becomes our desire, that's when He gives us what we desire. But we need to first change from our desires to His desire. And the way to do that is to cleanse our heart with the renewing of the Word of God and letting God's Word transform our heart. And then we can say, understand with Christ, blessed are the pure in heart. And again, I mentioned as we go through these Beatitudes, every one of them is exactly the opposite what the natural man thinks. The natural man thinks, well, if I'm going to get close to God, I've got to do certain things. I've got to become certain things. The lost man's religion teaches that. And even some saved people, and I know I struggled with this early in my Christian life. Well, I want to have my prayers. I've got to do certain things, then God's going to answer my prayer. No, I just need to walk with Him. I just need to get into the Word of God and let the Word of God transform my life. And then those changes are going to start to take place. I tried to change some things that were not right in my life as a young person when I got saved. And boy, I need to quit doing that. And I'm constantly coming to the altar, constantly repenting and talking to the Lord, saying, God, I sinned again. So I messed up again. And finally, I just realized, I guess I'm just going to have to live with this sin. It's just going to be my besetting sin the rest of my life. And I'm just going to focus on walking with God. And when I focus on walking with God, pretty soon those things start to disappear. Because I realize, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Father, we